So great to be learning together, Shari Oraz, Tshuva of the Week. And this week I'm going to speak about a broad issue that from time to time people ask me questions, and that is, why do we make always such a big deal about the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch? Why don't we follow any other Rishonim that we want to follow? Why do we dafka have to follow the Shulchan Aruch? And if you want to get a great answer to this, you take a look at the Yechaveh Dad is a postscript to the fourth Chelek. It's interesting. It's not published in all the editions. The edition that I have, that I bought it when I was a kid in yeshiva already, going back to the early 1980s. But it's not in all the editions, but it's very, very fascinating. I'll just share with you some very basic ideas that he points out. It's really his magnum opus, that Jews have the right to choose a specific rav as their halachic authority. Now, it has to be someone that's acceptable, but you can follow that opinion even if it's against others. Now, we find this in the Gemara, very, very fascinating Gemara on Masechet Shabbat in the 19th parak on Daf Kuf Lamed about Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer had an opinion that you can violate Shabbat for the mitzvah of Brit Milah. And this is a great Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer ben Hurkanus. And he believed that you can violate Shabbat even for preparatory points for Milah, not just Milah itself, but preparatory points. Let's say if the Mohel forgot to bring his Kelim to the place where the Brit is going to be, and it's a couple of houses away, and the Eruv is down, or there's no Eruv. And according to Rebbe Eliezer, there's a lot to do. We don't follow that. But the Gemara says something very, very interesting, that but Atrei, in his area, they followed it. And people died at a normal age, which was seen as a sign from Shemayim that Hashem endorsed their halachic practice. And not only that, there was a gezerah, the Roman government issued, that Jews weren't allowed to do milah. However, the gezerah, that decree, did not apply to the communities that had followed Rebbe Eliezer ben Hurkanus, which was really, really fascinating. So it's already Min HaShemayim. Hashem is already endorsing this notion that they're following Rebbe Eliezer. You see here that a community has a right to follow one particular Rav, even if it's a minority view. If that's their Rav, they follow him, Lekula, Lechumrah, for lenient and for strict. And the same thing the Gemara says about in the area Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira lived. They would actually have, believe it or not, chicken or turkey together with chicken, with milk. Unbelievable. Chicken and cheese sandwich people would have. Why? Because we don't follow that. That's not the majority rule, but this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira ruled in accordance with Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili believed that it's actually permitted to have milk together with fowl, such as oaf, chicken, duck, with turkey. We don't follow that. We follow Sasumin Rabbanan, but nonetheless, that's in that community, they followed it. And we find this in Shas, many, many places, in Pesachim, in Eruvin, that you find this idea of the Mara Da'atra, that you follow the Rav's opinion, even if others disagree with it, even the majority disagree with it. That's the Rav, that's the way he ruled, and it's a competent Rav, and it's a legitimate opinion, then you follow it. Now, originally amongst Sfaradim, that was the rule, the Psakim of the Rambam was accepted, was widely, widely accepted. And this is what became amongst all the communities. Maran, Rav Yosef Kara himself writes this in Shelo Teshuvot Avkat Rochel. Except for a few things, which is normal. You can't accept one person's opinion for everything. It's not, they're not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the way it works. But the idea is, so the Rambam is generally considered to be the Mara Da'atra for all of the Sephardic and Eidot HaMizrach communities. Now, then along came the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch already became accepted. Now, Shulchan Aruch is mostly follows the rulings of the Rambam. We know that he had three main posukim, Rambam, Rif, and the Rosh, and he followed the majority of those three. And typically the Rambam and the Rif hold are the same. So unless the Rambam had a great outlier, he would be following the Rambam. Here and there is an outlier. Example interesting he gives about Moredet, on-demand divorce, which is something that the Rambam more or less had a notion of, which the Shulchan Aruch does not agree with. And that's another topic for another time. Very, very interesting. Now, the psak that of the Shulchan Aruch became well accepted, and in the language of Rav Avadja here, his beautiful writings, he writes here that this is it's kibal nehoro tab in hashamayim. It's accepted that he should be, that his psakim should be accepted throughout the Sephardic world, and he's the Maradatra. He's the Maradatra of the Sephardic world, which is very, very interesting. And now, so much so, you don't have to follow Rama. Now, some believe, some of the poskim wanted to say, well, so I didn't follow Maranj, Rav Yosef Karo, but when the Rama, the Al Ashkenazic authority is stricter, you should be strict when it's especially dealing with something from the Torah. But no, Rav Avadja says that's only for great chachamim if they want to do it privately. But besides for that, for everybody, for the broader community, you follow Maran, whether it's Lekula or whether it is Lechumra, and this is well accepted already from Rabbi Yosef Malko, Baal Shulchan Gavoa, and a whole plethora of posukim that Rav Avadja quotes, that at the end of the day, the Shulchan Aruch has become the accepted authority for Sephardic Jews. Interesting, the one holdouts are the Baladi amongst the Taimanim, who will follow the Rambam over the Shulchan Aruch with some exceptions, and the Shami that will, again with some exceptions, they will follow the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Rambam, except for certain issues, and this is way for Sfaradim. Now, interesting, because he's the Maradatra. He's the Maradatra. I mean, he's the Rambam, and then the Shulchan Aruch took his place. But the Shulchan Aruch basically is continuing in the same role as the Rambam. So typically the two combine, and the opinions of Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, that's generally speaking, that's the Sfaradim we're going to be following, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Now, what happens? What happens if Maran does not issue a ruling on a particular issue, or it's not clear about a certain issue? Do we follow the Ramah? Does Sfaradim follow the Ramah? Or is the Ramah viewed as just another amongst the other opinions? This is already, Rav Avadja quotes, this is the difference of opinions between Rabbanim and, is a classic debate over here, between the Rabbanim in Morocco and the Rabbanim in Tunisia, where the Moroccan Rabbanim, like the Shel Tshuvot Vayomi Yitzchak, is Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Valid, who writes that amongst the Moroccans, that they accepted the Hora'ah of the Ramah in a situation where Maran, where Rabbi Yosef Karo did not speak about. However, he quotes, Rav Avadja quotes many poskim that no, that the halakha is, it's accepted certainly in Eretz Yisrael, that the Ramah is very respected, but he's considered to be like one of the poskim. He's not considered to be the Mara Da'atra like he is amongst the Moroccan poskim when Maran is silent or unclear. Very, very ish. And that's explains a lot of the difference between Rav Avadja and the Moroccan poskim. Very, very interesting. Good overview, and wishing everybody a great week with much bracha and much bri'ut. So in sum, Rav Avadja is for the Rambam, succeeded by the Shulchan Aruch, is a Mara Da'atra for Sfaradim. The Ramah is not. What if Maran is silent? That's the difference between Moroccan and Rav Avadja. Wishing everybody a great week with much bracha, much bri'ut.